Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
in the house.
We just wrapped up our monthly game night, which we actually had a week early this month. Space wasn't available, but we were very thankful that the space was available this Monday at the Good Game Company's warehouse. I also very thoroughly enjoyed the Early Goat coffee tonight as well, and those Stroop waffles.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I love me some Stroop waffles.
No, he said he imports them in from...
From where?
Stroopland.
The Netherlands.
The Netherlands, because it says authentic Dutch Stroop waffle. I might have one right here in my hand
right now. I had several when I was there and we were in Essen, so...
I'm pretty sure a year ago I didn't even know what a Stroop waffle was, and now they may be my favorite coffee accompaniment.
I agree.
Actually, I appreciated that Katie brought chocolate cookies with peanut butter chips in them. That was very, very thoughtful.
That's what happens when you're pregnant and you feel like you really just need something to eat while you're gaming. Everybody gets cookies.
I feel like we should just keep Katie pregnant most of the time.
Right.
Win now.
That didn't sound weird.
Ryan's not here, so yeah, good. So now that everyone's hungry, we had a great turnout tonight at the game night. I think we may have had record number attendance.
I think so.
There were no tables left.
Every table packed. People who didn't even want to play together were playing together.
We even brought out tables halfway through.
Added tables. Really cool. And the cool thing was I anticipated several people like coming from Tantrum Con, having heard about the event and showing up. I'm sure there were some people there that was the case. But a lot of people were just local people looking to have fun at game night. So it was great.
I know. There was definitely, I think, more first-time attendees than we've had in a while.
Yeah. Very cool. I got to play a lot of games. Did you guys get to teach or play anything fun and new tonight?
Well, I got to play Succulent. This is a game from Renegade Game Studios, and it is designed by J. Alex Cavern. Succulents are those little cactus things, right, Sarah?
Yeah, little plants.
So on your turn, you can either play your tiles in the main game area, and the tiles basically are cutouts of little tiles that have holes in them, and they have like one space, two space, three space, and where you place them, you're going to get different color. They call them cuttings of the succulents into your player area, and then you're using those cuttings of different colors to get basically goal tiles, project tiles that have different colors that they need to be completed, and those give you end game points. They also give you other kind of bonuses as you collect them. The other thing that you can do instead of placing your tile in the main game area is you can sort of get more of those types of tiles. And the interesting thing about it is you do that on those goal cards. So if someone completes a goal card where you placed your token on, then you're getting some water droplets. And those water droplets help you as well.
Oh, so you kind of share in part of the rewards there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I really liked it. I'm interested in playing again. There's different strategies that I feel like you can go after. So that's Succulent from Renegade Game Studios.
One of the games I played was the new Inner Compass from AEG, and Jonah has played that previously and was teaching it to us tonight. Had a lot of fun trying that one out. It's got a very cool mechanic, abstract strategy game with a totally pasted on theme. But the theme is pretty neat. It's this whole like emotional life experience type of thing where you are placing your piece onto different colored squares in a grid, and each of those squares supposedly represents like anger or sadness or, you know, whatever color is associated with it. And then there's kind of a rotating market that every time you buy a blue victory point tile, it then gets bumped to the bottom and it's worth fewer victory points for the next person. And then you're also trying to clear your own board of memories, because every time you clear either a row or a column, you get to place your marker onto a end game scoring spot, which allows you, you have about six choices for those, and they're going to score you different points based on how well you've done on the main board setting out your cubes. It's kind of hard to explain because it is an abstract strategy game where a lot of stuff is going on. The artwork for it is really nice. It's mostly just color based, but each illustration on the cards is interesting because the blue cards all have sad scenes on them and the red cards have angry scenes on them. And what? I did get angry several times in the game.
What does that even mean? Like, you see your puppy run over?
That's exactly right. One of them one of the red ones was a lady standing on a chair, like banging on the ceiling with a broom because her neighbors are too loud above her. And one of the happy scenes was like a couple, you know, elderly couple dancing together or whatever. So lots of emotional stuff going on. Definitely pasted onto it, but well done. And the mechanics for the game were actually really cool. I think I scored like 80 some points, which I felt pretty good at. And one of the other guys actually beat me with 99. He did fantastic. I think there was a lot of 99 scoring going on tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Where's that? Did Katie get?
Yeah. Okay. So I learned Ecos. Ryan taught me and another person who had never played before the game. And we, in Ecos, you are, you know, building up this like tableau of cards, and you draw tokens out of the bag, and then you're marking this little these little slots that you need to fill to activate that card based on what comes out of the bag. And to trigger the end game, we're like, oh, we'll play the short version, which is only to 60 points. You trigger the end of the game, but then you keep going until you draw a wild out of this bag. And we had just reloaded the bag full of stuff. So we continued on and on and on and on. And Ryan had to try to keep, he triggered the end of the game, and he had to try to hang on to the lead through the whole thing. And he totally creamed us. He got 90. He ended up with 99 points. Yeah, the end game was triggered at 60, and he ended up with 99. So it was pretty impressive.
Wow.
I think Ryan's not here tonight, so I guess we can brag for him. Didn't he crush some people in the other game that he played too?
Yes, he also played at, and I was going to say, I'm pretty sure Ryan just won every game he played tonight. He played Etten. He taught it to three other people, so it's a game where you play teams of two.
Yeah.
And so he said him and his partner, like, Ryan was only a person who had played before, but he said his partner caught on really fast, and Ryan said he got, like, 100 points, his partner got 80 points, and then the other team's total was 70.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Kind of like when we played together, Katie.
That was pretty much how it was when Melissa and I were teammates, and we got, like, 35 each for a total of like 70, and Dan and Ryan were like, we got like 150. It was like, oh my goodness.
So question, you've played this a couple times now, have you? Mm-hmm. It goes up to how many players, six or eight, or
I think it's eight.
Wow. So you could do four teams of two.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like maybe a little too many for that game, just with all the things that are going on.
There's a ton of but you're all really acting at the same time. So you're not like waiting on
other people to take their turns.
Okay. And with your team, it's really just the one person to the right of you is on your team, the person to your left of you is your enemy. Okay. So everybody's kind of got
everybody else is not interacting.
So it's kind of like Between Two Cities or Between Two Castles of Maggie and Ludwig,
except which were warring and
both on the table tonight. Both of the games were being played. Ooh, Between Two Cities and Between Two Castles of Maggie and Ludwig.
I almost brought just the regular castles to play.
Oh, you could have played it all.
This trifecta going on.
Man, that would have been cool.
Liam was teaching Grim Masquerade, which was pretty neat. He was having a lot of fun, showing people how to play that one. I taught some people how to play Miyabi. Man, we had a bunch of games on the table.
They were two copies of Parks being played at the same time.
Yeah, people brought their own to play. Mm-hmm. We had Succulent was still in shrink wrap, I think. There were a couple other maybe.
I got it out and learned it and played it.
We brought a couple brand new games that made it onto the table. We had a bunch out there.
I saw the boys playing Ice Cool.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. iSchool 2.
Oh, sorry, iSchool 2.
Which we kind of messed up on because...
Well, they had played a giant game of iSchool 1 and 2 together.
Oh, that sounds cool.
But when they put the game away, they didn't realize that the iSchool 1...
was
bottom
with,
of the box.
So they mixed them up.
And they put all the two pieces in. So when they tried to make the map a board, one didn't fit together. Mm. But they still played, and it still worked out fine. But they had to be little creative.
It was funny watching them try to figure out, like, where does this one go at? It doesn't. The doors don't line up. Ah, whoops, messed it up.
Yeah, I'm still super impressed that we had this many people out with it being on a non-regular Monday.
So this is, we're recording this on President's Day. We did actually have a couple people who came in.
Yes, we did have some people who were able to come today because it was a holiday.
That's why we planned that.
Right.
Yeah,
let's hit some holidays. Get everybody to come in.
Yeah. Another game that I got to play was Space Base.
Oh, I love Space Base.
I know. It's one of those games that when you look at it on the table, it looks confusing and not like very interesting.
Right. Even like the art to me doesn't draw you in.
It's surprisingly good.
It's amazing. If I had played this back when it first came out, it would have made my top games of 2018.
What?
Yeah. Ooh. It really is such a fun game. And it was one of those where we had people doing wildly different strategies in our game, and we all were actually really close there at the end.
Did anybody try to do the you win card, or did it come out?
It did come out,
okay.
But everybody was rolling remarkably low on the dice. Like, everybody was rolling, like, ones, threes. Okay. It was really pitiful, because I had spent a lot of money in, like, 7, 8, 9, 10, and I was having a really hard time getting my engine going because everybody was rolling just super low. But it was a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun.
It looked like it. Man, tons of fun tonight. Let's keep the show rolling, though, and give a shout-out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Paper Pilots. This game is on Kickstarter right now. It's a two-player dog-fighting space combat card game with figurines.
What?
Okay.
So this is something that you can check out on Kickstarter now if that description has piqued your interest. That is Paper Pilots.
Now, I saw the cover image for it. Is it actually, like, do you fold up pieces of paper in the game to make your ships?
It looks like that.
Like origami-style instructions?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it looks like. The cover image for it has, like, spaceships that are made out of folded paper. I don't know. Interesting stuff. Check it out. All right. Let's go into our Kickstarter Conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about 5 games coming to Kickstarter the week of February 24th. 2020. Kevin, go ahead and start us off.
Weird Giraffe Games is launching Tumble Town. This is an engine building game. We are trying to build the best tiny town in the West. A game for 1 to 4 players, takes about 45 minutes to play. You are a mayor of a small community and you're trying to build, like I said, the best town possible. And you have some different mechanics in the game, drafting, some dice manipulation, some spatial puzzle going on. There's only certain buildings out available each round, so you're trying to draft the right ones, and certain ones let you manipulate dice, making it easier to continue that building. And there's only limited dice in the game, so buildings require certain dice types, so you can strategically make those to make sure you use those to complete your town. The spatial puzzle comes in because you're trying to construct buildings along Main Street to create your town. And the townspeople want a specific look for the town. So at the town meetings, it's what's decided on what the building plans are available. At the end of each round, you can pick those out. So trying to get the most prestige, the question is, can you build the best tiny town in the West?
So it obviously sounds like Tiny Towns.
I know. I don't know.
Are added. How different would you guess that it is?
It looks like you're stacking dice on top of each other. So it looks kind of cool that way. And looks like you're building, like I said, along Main Street. So it looks kind of cool. Definitely has a Western theme to it. I like the artwork on it.
I wonder what happens if the dice tumble.
Tumble Town. Anyway, that is from Weird Giraffe Games. You can check it out. Coming to Kickstarter this week. Katie.
All right. Coming February 25th is an expansion for Endogenesis. This is Endogenesis Beyond. And this is going to be adding new card types, which is augmenting. It is going to be giving you greater flexibility in how you build up your cards and your powers in the game. They're also adding new monsters, events, and distortion cards. So a lot of new encounters there. And also they're adding new skill sets. And it looks like it's going to be a really nice expansion. The art, of course, looks amazing. This is an expansion to Endogenesis, mm-hmm. so it can't be played separately without the base game. If you are interested in this, you can watch. Ryan and I are doing a review of this, or preview, mm-hmm. excuse me, a preview of this, and it'll be available on our channel. All right, Will, did you have something?
I do. I'm looking at the game The Last Bottle of Rum from Lord Raccoon Games. It's a 2-to-5-player tile game where you're going to have an ocean, a sea, made up in front of you, and you'll be laying out a bunch of hex tiles, and then you'll use an action point system to explore that space. Each turn you'll draw two cards and you'll choose which one you want to play and use the action points from. Then you will sail abroad, revealing tiles as you go, hoping to find treasure. There's some Take That and some hand management and some variable player powers in the game as well. It takes about 50 to 70 minutes. The artwork for it looks a lot of fun. It's really sharp looking artwork. It looks super family friendly, but it says it's 12 and up and it takes from 50 to 70 minutes, so it's, I don't know what kind of weight. It's like a 2 on Board Game Geek, so not too heavy, but it does look like there's a decent amount of strategy and kind of stuff you can do. It actually reminds me of the game. I mean, a lot of it sounds very similar to the game that a local friend of ours put out, Jacob Bunting. His game is called Tides of Infamy. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a more family-friendly version of that, where you're doing all the piratey things that pirates do. You're trying to explore the archipelago. Did I get it right? Archipelago.
That's worse.
Oh man. And if you're able to win that, then you win the last bottle of rum and win the game. Really, really sharp looking artwork. Check out that one on Kickstarter this week as well. Sarah, what you got?
Coming February 27th is Circus Cordies. This is from Zerua Games, from designer Amelie Laroche. And this is a little game. It looks like it will be fitting in a little mint tin type box. And it is a trick-taking game where you are bidding on getting stars for your little dogs in the circus. One interesting thing about it is it follows a lot of the same types of things that you might do in a trick-taking game. But you can add treats to your little dog cards and gain some extra points if you have lower cards, which is an interesting addition to trick-taking games. Mm-hmm. So the artwork is incredibly cute, and it all looks like it's going to be fit nicely in this little tin game. So check out Circus Corgis in...
Corgis.
The dog breed.
The little dogs.
From Archipelago.
No, it's from Zerua Games.
Oh, okay.
Check that one out on February 27th. Melissa.
On February 25th, Talon Strike Studios is bringing Public Market to Kickstarter. This is for 2-to-5 players, plays in about an hour to an hour and a half, and basically, the theme is that you're fishing in the Pacific Northwest, and you are going to be getting these fish tiles that you then have to arrange in your ice box. So you have, like, Cottage Garden or Barron Park. You have this grid of the square grid that you're placing tiles on to cover certain spots.
Polyomino tiles.
Yes, polyomino tiles.
Is it a Yeti cooler, though? I think that's what we all want to know.
I don't know, but there's crabs and like
shrimp
and shrimp in there and ice cubes.
I doubt that there's a Yeti cooler on a random fishing boat, and that's what they're going to use. They have huge holds that they put.
I think your doubt is probably wrong, but maybe not in this game.
So anyway, the game has two main phases to it. The first phase of each round, you are bidding not only for turn order, but for certain scraps of fish that you will get. They're different sizes of tiles, but the types of fish are also going to be used to complete contracts and different goals. So whoever bids the most money will then get to go first in the next phase, where you either go fishing or you go to market and sell your fish. And there's a lot to think about in this game. Not only which fish are you trying to collect, how are you going to arrange them on your board, but then when you go to sell, you have to, if you complete a card, you're reducing that fish amount that you have. So, oh, if I do it this way, can I complete two cards? Or if I do it that way, I can only complete one card, but then I'll be able to sell more for money. So there is a lot of thinkiness in the game.
There's a little bit of engine building, too, because you can start... there's cards that allow you to basically fill your tracker up with fish immediately. So it's giving
they're
you...
permanent fish.
Yeah, permanent fish that you have. So that you can basically start getting even more fish so that you can sell more fish to the market. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, and we actually have a house guest to talk more about Public Market.
Yeah, let's welcome Jason from Talent Strike Studios to the house.
Hey! Hello!
Hello! We're so glad to have you on the show. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your company so our listeners can know who we're talking with?
Sure, thank you. First of all, I really appreciate you taking the time to bring me on and talk with me for a little bit. That's awesome. So, Talent Strike Studios is something that I started around 2009, 2010. And I had a couple of runs with a game called Hooch. Started as a card game, then it kind of built into something a little bit more. I ran that under another flag, so to speak, on Kickstarter, you know, a different account. It did have fun twice there as a card game, and then I ran it once under Talent Strike Studios, and it did have fun then. So that was kind of my first by myself kind of thing. Prior to that, I had done graphic design and helped people put their Kickstarters together. So that's kind of where the company kind of was born from. I'm very good friends with Michael Coe, who runs Gamelin Games, who I'm sure you know well. And he kind of helped me to take that first step with a game called House of Borgia, which you guys covered and have done a extra video on as well that sits on the BGG page. Thank you for that. And so that was kind of my first funded game, and it was just kind of one a year from there. And I did King's Champion, and then we did Vinyl. And that went well, and that's been well received this year. And then Winterborn and Camp Pinetop, and now to Public Market. So that's kind of a little bit about the background of Talent Strikes.
Yeah, I know Kevin and I have gotten to play many of those games that you mentioned and have done videos on them, have enjoyed playing them. And we actually just got to play Public Market, which is what you're bringing to Kickstarter, and enjoyed the interesting sort of action drafting tile laying mechanic in that game. Why don't you give us just a really quick overview of what the game is?
Sure. Thank you. It's basically a spatial relationship. So polyomino tiles that you're putting into an ice chest. You're going to draft those based on turn order. So you bid for your turn order. Then you go fishing. You're going to draft a tile. You place that tile into your ice chest. When your ice chest is full, then you go to market and you sell. You're going to sell to public contracts, and then you sell to private restaurants called Today's Catch. You can do both of those at the same time. You get paid out for that in money, and also in game mechanics, so game bonuses, rather. So you're building a little fish engine, we like to call it, in a Splendor style where you earn fish that you will have permanently for the remainder of the game as you earn them. And then it's basically that you keep going back and forth between fishing the right tiles and then going to market. I will say the one thing that stands out as a tile layer that drew me to sign this game as a publisher is in many tile laying games, you're stuck with that board the whole game. And if you make a mistake, it's very punishing, such as like a Feast for Odin or Isle of Cats or any of those games where your tiles stay out, patchwork. In this game, when you want to, you just go to market and sell your fish, dump your board, and get a new one. And yeah, so there's no penalty.
It's kind of similar to Cottage Garden. When you fill that board, you turn it in and you get a new one.
Yes.
That sounds like something I'd be interested in. I haven't gotten a chance to check this one out yet. I know Kevin and Melissa just got it to the table recently, so I'm hoping to also get it to the table at my house.
Yeah, it is interesting. And the two-player plays very different from a three- or four-player, because in a two-player, you're controlling two pawns. So you can fish and market in the same turn with, so to speak, with both of your pawns. So it's very cool. The two player has a very different vibe from the multiplayer.
Now, can you give us a little bit of background in some of the inspiration for why you may have picked this one up? I know you told a little bit about the interesting aspects of the tile laying. And then I think you did a little bit of the graphic design on it for as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, sure. So I don't know if you guys, I think you do, flat out, Sean and Molly and Rob, and they had Point Salad, which I know you guys have played.
Mm-hmm. From AEG.
Mm-hmm. So they had that game picked up. It was a Cardboard Edison game. It got picked up by AEG and then published. At the time I signed this game from those guys, they hadn't decided to become a publisher yet. Then later that year, they picked up Calico, and they published that. So this is designed by the Flat Out crew. That's what I like to refer to them as when I talk to them. I saw this at BGG. They pitched it to me, BGG in Dallas, Board Game Geek Con. It was very different from this. The fish had pounds and you were collecting pounds of fish. So it was very mathy. I mean, there was like so much math in looking, like I get so many pounds of this and so many pounds of that. But the engine was very different. But it was cool, right? It had this nice, Pacific Northwest thing going on. That's where they're from. They live up there. And they like to design their games around that kind of stuff. And so it kind of had this really neat thing to it. So played it, and I offered him a contract on it, and they accepted, and we kind of started taking those next steps. For Talent Strike Studios, with the exception of the expansions in Camp Pinetop, I've done all the graphic design. So that's something that I have a degree in through college, and then I do that. So I say it's a lot of hours, but I save myself some cabbage on the backside. So I don't have to farm that out. But, Beth Sobel did the art for this one. So we're very excited, and I feel very blessed to have had her do this. So that was a nice additive for this game. And it married well with those guys up. They all live in the Pacific Northwest, and they know each other. So that made it cool. She got to sit with them, play the game, talk with the designers about the game. And that really helps your illustrator to, quantify those things. And then she's a fantastic artist on top of that. So then you have some of those nice nuanced things. Like on the cover, you'll see this Mount Rainier. She looks out her window and sees it every day. So just going through some of those motions with it. It's a really interesting project to how it kind of came to be. And where it's ended up. It's very exciting.
Very cool. I am excited to see how the Kickstarter campaign does. It looks very beautiful. It has a beautiful cover to it. Beth did a wonderful job. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the info in your Kickstarter campaign?
Sure. So the game, don't hold me a gunpoint on this, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be about $34 for the base and then $40 for the deluxe. That's something that we've always done on Kickstarter is really be aggressive and try to take care of the backer. So that will be the two pledge levels. The base game, like what you saw when you played, I think you guys have the deluxe towers, the deluxe lighthouses.
Yes,
I think we did. So that's a deluxe feature. In the retail version, it would be just cubes. But so there's four differences. There's four additives. There's a better bag in the deluxe. There's cool lighthouses with silkscreen. There's your player tokens aren't meeples. They're actually custom cut fisherman dudes in and dudettes in yellow slickers, you know, kind of like the Gordon's fisherman, right? And then so the boat isn't cardboard, it's wood. So those are some of the things we have some neat things. A couple of years ago, we kind of upgraded in how we present our game. So we have gifts on there. We have a really great video at the start. I got a fantastic gal to do the narration and voiceover for it. So that's cool. And that worked out well. And some of those kinds of things. So we're excited for that and to be able to just kind of offer, a more base version for those people that don't want to spend a little bit extra and then the deluxe. But it's not crazy. You see so many games on Kickstarter, like $80, $90, $100. And, we want to provide a great game, but we also know you have a lot of games to choose from. And so we want to price aggressively and then be affordable.
Yeah, I would say Kevin and I were playing with prototype components, but I think somewhere in the $30 to $40 range is very reasonable for the amount of game that you're getting with what you're presenting, the gameplay and the components.
Yeah, thanks. I think it is too. I mean, we toiled about that, Eric and I, quite a bit about, because that's one of the things on Kickstarter. It's a very fluid animal. And how do you price or how do you target that quantity for the game that you're showing? A lot of games get a ton of plastic minis and over the top, but it really doesn't provide anything to the game. It's just bling, right? And there's a difference between that. So I would say this game has nice, it's going to have wood tokens. So the crabs, the crab meeples, they'll be wooden. The fish markers will be wooden. The gear markers will be wooden. And that's all in the base, wooden cubes. So you're getting a really great deal right off the get-go. And then we have upgraded those four things for just a $6 bump to have the cool lighthouses and stuff. It's neat. So I think it will hopefully appeal to folks and not be too pricey.
Yes, definitely looking forward to seeing this on Kickstarter. This is Public Market from Talon Strike Studios, and it will be launching February 25th. So head over to Kickstarter and check it out soon. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jason, and we wish you the best of luck on your campaign.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you accommodating me and bringing me on. It's fantastic to talk with the folks from Tantrum House. I follow you. I watch all your stuff, and it's always neat when you get to make that connection between what I see on my screen and actually getting to talk with you too. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
We thank Jason for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about Public Market and some of the background about that game. And we hope that one does well.
Yes, and Kevin and I will have a preview video based on our experiences.
I'm always curious because I for some reason, fishing is not a theme that like really attracts me in board games. But I've played two or three different fish-themed board games, and the mechanics for them are usually stellar.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I can't even remember the name of the one. I'm dating back like 5 or 6 years ago.
Did you play Cold Water Crown?
That's the one I'm talking about.
You played the prototype at Origins.
I did, and I played the real thing since then, and maybe the expansion.
Yes, you did play the expansion with us.
I think I did, and then really enjoyed that game.
He actually has another game.
Does he?
Freshwater Fly. I like Cold War Crown better, but anyway,
yeah.
Continue on.
Yeah, it's funny that sometimes there will be a theme that would turn me off, but then I sit down and play it, and I'm like, man, so good.
Yeah, I actually don't like fishing at all in real life. I think it's super boring. But I'm in the same boat. Like I enjoy
same
a lot of
boat.
I enjoy the fish games, the fishing games I have played.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'm not a super huge fishing fan either. But you would think there's not that much difference between like the slow pace of board game play and fishing. I bet when we're like 50, 60, we're gonna love fishing.
I don't know.
I like fishing.
Or board gaming.
I just realized it's only like 10 years away, which means I just made a sad statement.
Oh, snap.
I got to like fishing in 10
Speak
years.
Speak for yourself. I'm not that close.
You got some time. That was fun. I think one more fun thing we've got going on tonight is a segment from the Mad Meeple.
Hello, this is Mike Davis from the Game and Party Podcast, and this is the Mad Meeple segment. Today we talk about the game Clank, a deck-building adventure game. Clank plays from 2 to 4 players in about 30 to 60 minutes, ages 12 and up. The publisher is Renegade Game Studios and Direwolf. Clank is a deck-building game where you'll be playing your cards to move around the board, collecting treasures, trying to get out before the dragon eats you. And now, I'd like to share with you why I love this game. The first reason I love Clank is it's a deck-building game, and it's a great one. Not only do you build a deck, but you use that deck to move around a board. The second reason I love Clank is the theme. It's a fantasy theme where you're fighting through a dungeon and a dragon's coming after you. The third reason I love Clank is the tension you get from pulling cubes out of the bag where you might die if you get too much damage. Love that tension. And now I'd like to share with you why I hate this game. The first reason I hate Clank is, oh, when your cubes come out of the bag and you're so close to finishing the game and at last cube comes out and kills you, oh, that's so disheartening. The second reason I hate Clank is there are some times in the game where you will deal yourself 5 cards and you'll have 0 boots and you can't move. And this can happen several times in the game and you just feel stuck and hopeless. The third reason I hate Clank is there are some great cards in the game, but if they don't come up on your turn, they come up on your opponent's turn, they're going to take them. And that's it, guys. That's why I love and hate Clank, a deck-building adventure game. You've been listening to the Mad Meeple, Mike Davis.
So it's been forever since I've played Clank, and I think I've only really played 2 of them.
The base game? Did you ever play Clank in Space?
I think Space is the one that I played.
Okay.
And I've enjoyed both of them. It's been so long, I don't even remember if I hated and loved the same things that Mike loved.
Okay. Let's just say I totally agree with Mike on all the counts, things.
Especially that last one, though, Kevin. You're like arms raised, yep. And you were like, amen, preach it.
I was like, preach it, brother. I will tell you. So as you all know, Melissa and I and a couple of friends are doing Clank Legacy. I've had ups and downs. There was probably a couple episodes ago where I was really poo-pooing it.
Yeah, a little down on it.
Mr.
Grumpy Face.
Has that turned around? Is it still
the same? So let's say I'm not that grumpy about it anymore.
Okay.
But I'm not like, this is the best Legacy game ever.
Yet, when he pulls out the win at the end.
I'm still enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it a lot better now. I'm trying to get into the story and things like that. I have not won yet. We are just...
That's probably why you're not enjoying it.
I am not enjoying
Kevin.
It. Game 7. I will tell you, like Mike said, the cards that come out on other people's turns are so amazing. And they're not coming out on my turn. It's not my turn.
I will admit, in our last game, I was one step away from making it out, which is an extra 20 points, when I died.
You pulled the cube.
Yes.
I pulled it. It was great.
I was like, I think I can do this. I'm really close.
Which
I
is like an
boots.
Extra 20 points.
I had the boots in my hand. All I needed to do was take one step. But yes, I didn't make it. But that's not as tragic as dying below
which happened to me.
Yeah.
because then you get 0 points.
Right, yes.
Ooh. Yeah, I was doing really well that game, too. I had a lot of gold, but I guess I didn't think about...
Didn't run fast enough.
The gold was weighing you down, it and was. You couldn't like, it was. Get out from so, underneath.
I wouldn't have won that game anyway. I put a little asterisk by that one and put my points that I would have gotten. And it still wouldn't have been
makes
enough.
Makes you feel better.
Yeah, it was. So actually, that was the last game we played was my best game of Clank Legacy ever. Mm. I got 79 points, but someone got 100.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think Melissa got 50-some, and another person got like 50-some. So I felt like I was doing really good, but I was still just second place.
And you died, so you didn't even get 79 points.
No, I got seven. Oh, no, okay. No, I got
it was the game before.
It was the game before. Yeah. That. Gotcha. Yeah, so I got 79 points.
How far, how much is left in the campaign?
I think there's two or three games. I think there's three games left, 8, 9, and 10. So
are you guys are planning to review it with spoilers, without spoilers?
Probably both.
Both?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll probably do a first section half. Without any. And
maybe
then...
Melissa will do it.
I'd be curious to know. I'm probably not going to play the entire campaign, so I would be interested to know what spoilers there are. So I'll be watching that one.
Okay. Cool. So,
yeah, that pretty much wraps up the episode, although I think we do have one final announcement that Kevin's going to make because I can't remember dates.
So, every year we need to raise some money so that we continue our Tantrum House efforts and to continue to make podcasts and videos and things like that. So, we're going to run a Kickstarter campaign in the spring here, and yay, we just decided on a date, which is March 31st. We'll be launching our Kickstarter Season 7, and we've been lining up promos and game bundles and some other really cool add-ons.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That we can't talk about.
I saw some of those emails.
Yet. So, everything is, most of it's confirmed, but there's just a couple dots of I's and crossing of T's mm-hmm. to make sure everything's good. But I'm actually super excited about some other things. I just found out another one that I'll tell you after the podcast ends. So, anyway, we will give you more information about Tantrum House Season 7 Kickstarter. We would love your support and sharing it socially and monetarily.
Yep, talking about some very fun ideas that I can't wait to put into action. Mm-hmm. So yeah, be sure. We'll give you more information, I'm sure, as we get closer, but we'd love to have you guys' support on that, and we're excited about it coming along. I think that pretty much wraps up the episode, though, so we're going to roll out from here, and we'll see y'all, or hear y'all, you'll hear us, next week!
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.